The title of the message tonight is God waiting for you? which follows, are you satisfied with your faith, right? Oh, praise the Lord. When I was a student at the University of Tennessee, I'm a transplant, okay? I admit it. I'm still working on my redemption here, okay? The third Saturday of October was the week that we would play Alabama. Okay, and back in 70s, it was a big back in the 70s. That was the 60s. The third Saturday of October was Alabama. So whenever we had an Alabama home game, you had to camp out in front of the ticket office Friday morning if you wanted to get a ticket, because they only gave, and I don't remember the exact number, but at the time, Tennessee, the stadium seated about 80,000, okay? And now it's 120, I think, something like that. And so they only made available about 2,500 student tickets for Alabama. You know, they didn't care about the students. They wanted the money from the boosters and all that, okay? Student, we were there just like a garnish to be, you know, sprinkled throughout the crowd. So I remember I did this one time, okay, because see, when I went to Tennessee in 74, we played Alabama in 74 at home, away 75, home 76. That's how it worked. So my very first year, I set out. I got to the line around, I just didn't go to class, my first class, okay? So I got there around 8 o'clock. I was nowhere near the front. I was nowhere near the front. So I sat there from 8 o'clock Friday morning to 8:30 Saturday morning so I could get a ticket for the Alabama game, okay? Now, the neat thing about this, though, is that all of us students were waiting. So, you know, if you had to go to the bathroom, no one took your place because, you know, we were all in the same boat. It was no problem. You know, if you laid down and took a nap, no one got in front of you because it was a respect thing. You're waiting for Alabama, okay? So we sat and waited for the ticket office to open. When the ticket office opened, it did not take long for them to give out the tickets. I mean, we were ready, walking. We were ready, okay? We were willing to wait over 24 hours, some longer than that, for a ticket for a football game. We waited, okay? And I got to thinking about, we were willing to wait to get a ticket. But there are so many of us in the body of Christ, we're not willing to wait on God. Okay? And then, when we were waiting to get a ticket, okay, we were in this example, we were God in this example, because we were waiting for the ticket office to open. Okay? And then once the ticket office was opened, then we got what we desired. Okay? Now see, we're God's ticket office, okay? Because he's waiting for us to do what we need to do so that he can go to the Alabama game, okay? And what he needs from us in order to go to the Alabama game is our faith, is our trust. He needs for us to open up and let him do what he needs to do, okay? Tonight's message is not a very complex message at all. But it made me think about something as I was reading through it. We're going to see a lot of redundancy tonight. And God said, and God told Moses, and God said, stretch forth your hand, over and over and over. And as I was thinking about that, I asked the Lord, I said, you know, why are you just repeating a lot of the same things over and over? And he said, because you have a mind that filters my ability to move in this world. And so he repeats things over and over again to try to get our mind to understand what he's really after. Because the only thing that's stopping us is that we talk ourselves out of it. From here to here, we talk ourselves out of it. We don't say it like that, but that's essentially what we do. Because if we didn't, we would be doing everything Jesus said we could do. Okay? Turn to Exodus chapter 7. Really, turn to Exodus chapter 6. Chapter 5. Chapter 6. It's too early. In Exodus chapter 6, well, honestly, hold your finger in 6 and go to 13. Hold your finger in 6 and go to 13. In Exodus chapter 13, look at verse 14. And it shall be, this is Moses, God giving Moses instruction about after the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt by the death of the firstborn. And it shall come to pass, and it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt from the house of bondage. Do you see that? By the strength of hand. Look at verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Look at verse 16. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Three times in one verse, in one chapter, he did that. I still didn't get it right. Elvina. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for God's mercy and grace. Because she should have shot me temper attack. This is the 50,000th time. But you see in this chapter repeated by strength of hand. Do you think God put that in there three times by accident? In one chapter, he says, by strength of hand, the Lord has delivered. Okay? So my question tonight is, by whose hand did God really deliver Israel? Okay? Because, see, God cannot do anything in this world without somebody's cooperation. Okay? And so we're going to see tonight some cooperation from Moses and Aaron. Okay? And again, as I said when we first started out, God is making a point by just repeating this over and over. In Exodus chapter 6, look at verse 28. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. You see what it says? Speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. In other words, Moses, you are going to get a word from the Lord. And when you get a word from the Lord, Moses, I want you to speak it. Do you see this? Okay, that's important. Jesus says, what I hear, I speak. Okay? And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord just dismissed that and says, okay, I just want you to do what I told you to do, okay? Now go to Exodus chapter 7. Look at verse 17. Thus saith the Lord. Now, he's getting ready to begin the process of delivering the children of Israel. Okay? He's beginning the process. Thus saith the Lord, in this shalt thou know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in thine hand upon the waters. Let me back up. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters. This is Moses talking to Pharaoh, which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron. He's giving a word from the Lord. Say unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch it, stretch thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that they may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. Look at verse 20. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord, what? Commanded. They heard the Lord, they obeyed the Lord. Okay? Now, we read this record, and Barry was influenced by the Ten Commandments, the movie, okay? When Charlton Heston when Moses stands in front of Pharaoh and talks about the river's going to become blood, you go back, I think it's chapter 4, maybe chapter 3, it was first of all, a sign to the children of Israel that God was going to deliver them when they saw the river turn to blood. That was a sign for them, okay, first of all. Secondarily, it became a sign to Pharaoh, okay? But what I want you to see is this. God told Moses what he wanted him to do. Moses had a choice to make. He could either obey or not obey, okay? If Moses had not stretched forth his hand, would the river have turned to blood? No. No. It would not have turned to blood if Moses had not stretched forth his hand. Okay? Moses received a word from the Lord and he obeyed. When we receive a word from the Lord, if we don't obey, the word does not come to pass. All these people who say God is in control, when the word of the Lord comes and you don't obey it, you just stop God cold in his tracks. Show me control and all that. God is stopped. You can stop God. Okay? We're going to run through these. Chapter 8, look at verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, again, he's giving a word from the Lord. Say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron decided that he wanted to take a nap and not stretch forth his hand. No. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Okay? So Aaron did exactly what Moses told him to do, what Moses told God to do. And when Moses gave the instruction, nothing happened until Aaron raised his hand, stretched forth his rod, and then the frogs came. Okay? Now, I want to show you something really, really neat. After the frogs came, Pharaoh called Moses in, and he says, Moses, I'm sorry, forgive me, please go to God and ask him to stop with the frogs. I got the message, Moses. You don't have to he doesn't have to keep filling our houses and our land and our meals and all those things with frogs. We got the message, okay? So Moses says, okay, I will go to the Lord for you and entreat the Lord, okay? Look at verse 13. What does verse 13 say? And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Do you see that? Now see, we hold Moses up here. Jesus just a little bit higher. But you know, Moses up here. But see, we have the same life and nature in us that Jesus had. Moses didn't. Okay? And yet God did what Moses asked him to do. Judah, you're a daughter. Cindy, you're a daughter. Bruce, you're a son. Sean, son. Judy, daughter. Is he going to do less for you than he did for Moses? Come on now. Your sons and daughters. He did according to the word of Moses. Okay? Would God have done anything if Moses hadn't asked him? You see where I'm going? Okay? Is God waiting on you? Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. There would not have been any lice if Aaron hadn't followed the instructions. Okay? I know this is redundant. I understand that. But God put this in here for a reason. Over and over and over again, we're seeing God gives the word. He, once the word is followed, you get the result. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You speak the word like Moses did. You speak the word. You believe what you are saying. And you get the results. Okay? Look at verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from the people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go in to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And verse 31, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Let me put it to you this way. The Lord obeyed Moses. Do you see that? Chapter 9, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take you a handful of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with flames upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace, stood before Pharaoh. Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with flames upon man and upon beast. Again, got the word from the Lord, you obeyed, you see the results. Okay? Verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, this is Moses still talking to Pharaoh. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hail not seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and upon every beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home and shall come down upon them and they shall die. The hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. Okay? He that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Do you see how God's mercy works here? He told Pharaoh in advance, this is what I'm going to do. Okay? Now, you can tell your folks to put their cattle and their servants inside so they won't get hurt, or you don't have to. And those who believe what Moses said, I mean, after all, we've seen lice and we've seen flies and we've seen boils. I think this man hears from God. We're going to do this. And all those who were stubborn like Pharaoh didn't, and they paid the price. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward the heavens, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire and rain. And fire rain ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Okay? So Moses again had to stretch forth his hand. Okay? Now, I could read the rest of these, but it's the same thing. God tells Moses, this is what I want you to do. Moses has to make a decision each time God tells him, this is what I want you to do. And if Moses doesn't do it, then God will not have the kind of effect on the land of Egypt that he wants to have. Okay? And you see here, after the hail came, then there was the locust, okay, in chapter 10. And then there was the darkness, also in chapter 10. And then there was the death of the firstborn in chapter 11. Let's look at that one. Look at verse 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord. Okay? Moses said, thus saith the Lord. About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be like it any more. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. Now, remember, what did we read in chapter 13? It says, and the strength of the hand of the Lord. By strength of hand, the Lord will do this. What do we see in verse 10 of chapter 11? Verse 10 of chapter 11. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. Who did the wonders? Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron. How did they do the wonders? They received a word from the Lord. They believed what the Lord said, and they acted. Do you see how when James says, show me thy faith, faith without works is dead? Do you see that? If you don't really believe what you're hearing, you're not going to act. Moses and Aaron acted, and they got the results. Okay? Look in Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 12, 13. In Exodus chapter 12, they are getting ready for the death of the firstborn. Okay? And for the Passover. And then in chapter 13, we see the results already of what had happened. And Pharaoh And all of those in Egypt said, it's time for you to go. We don't want everyone to die. It's time for you to go. Okay? So they've left Egypt. Okay? Now, verse 14. They left Egypt, and Pharaoh and all of his court has had a change of heart because they let their slaves leave Egypt. And so now they don't have anyone to do what they need to be done, so to make bricks and all this sort of stuff. So now they're going to be following the children of Israel. Now look at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They were sore afraid that they cried out to the Lord. Now, I want you to get this picture, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? The children of Israel were in Egypt, and they saw 10 plagues. Each plague devastated Egypt until finally the death of the firstborn was what put everything over the top. And Pharaoh made them leave. Made them leave. Okay? Now, if you had seen God do all of those things for you so that you could leave Egypt, and then you saw Pharaoh coming after you, why would you be afraid? Why would you be afraid? I want you to listen to what the Lord said. And when I read this, you guys don't realize, yeah, it had to be the Lord, because Barry, that's smart. He said, fear is an emotional response to a picture you create in your mind. Fear is an emotional response to a picture you create in your mind. It always comes before the thing happens. Fear overrides what you have known and experienced. Fear overrides what you have known and experienced. They had experienced all those plagues in Egypt that God had delivered them. And yet, fear wiped all that out. Fear overrides what you have known and experienced. Fear creates false realities for the believer. False realities are realities that oppose my word and the things of me. False realities create a no in your life when the truth of my word says differently. So fear creates a no where God's word says differently. The children of Israel had a picture in their minds that showed them being killed by the Egyptians. The picture was so vivid, and I want you to listen to this, the picture was so vivid that they had forgotten about their deliverance. Isn't that something? That picture of fear was so vivid for them, they forgot that, wait a minute, we're no longer in Egypt. We're out of Egypt, but yet they saw Pharaoh coming, and the fear just gripped them, okay? And see, it happens to us too. Fear grips us too, okay? But as you spend more time in his presence, praying in the Spirit, just being in his presence, letting his love to really start develop in you, less and less fear is going to occur. Because what's the worst thing that can happen to us? This body ceases to function. It ceases to function. That's the worst thing that can happen. Because we know where we're going to spend eternity. But see, we love our bodies. We don't like pain. We like to eat. I mean, anything that causes us discomfort, we don't want to deal with that. And so that's why that when something threatens our comfort, something threatens what we know, fear creeps in. Isaiah tells us, don't be afraid of sudden fear. And you don't allow someone else to cause fear for you. Okay? Hebrews says that the Jews were in fear of their lives every day. Why? Because they were concerned about whether or not they were going to break some portion of the law. And so they lived in fear because they didn't want to break any portion of the law. See, the law is on the inside of us, so there's no reason for us to live in fear. Because anytime that something happens that goes against our born-again nature on the inside, there's a check. Don't do that. No, 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 no. But I thought that was, fear is an emotional response to a picture that we create. We create the picture, and then we respond to it. Look at verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. We're happy being slaves. We're happy being beaten every day. It just makes us feel so needed and wanted. Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. We would rather be a slave to someone who doesn't know God rather than be delivered and serving God. For it, and this is one of these statements that just boggles my mind. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. See how fear had just kind of just ruined all sorts of logic for them? They were delivered. They're no longer bonds, no slaves in Egypt. They're out of that. And yet, that's what they're focusing on. It would have been better for us. That is the body of Christ today. What is better for us? And if it happens to agree with God, then that's a benefit. But what is better for us? This gospel is all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me, Barry. Yeah, most of y'all caught that. It had been better for us if we had stayed in Egypt. It had been better for me to get what I want than to have to suffer for the Lord. Okay? Because, see, God asks us to make some decisions that we oftentimes don't want to make because it's not the best thing for us. It's not what we want. Okay? I don't charge extra for my music. Okay? I just throw that in. Yeah, that's a bonus. Just because you showed up. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this is, excuse me, this is where I really wanted to go tonight. And you're really going to understand it when we get there. This is where I really wanted to go. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, shut up. Shut up and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Okay? Now, if you look at my notes, what is an Egyptian in your life? What is an Egyptian in your life? An Egyptian is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Stronghold. So what is an Egyptian in your life? Okay? What is an Egyptian in your life? Because if you make a decision to listen to the word of the Lord, to obey what the Lord says, then the Egyptian in your life can cease to exist. Can cease to exist. Verse 14, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Okay? Now, I want you to notice something. Well, let me look at my notes here before I go too far. Verse 12, it says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. Freedom comes with a price, the Lord says. Freedom comes with a sacrifice. Freedom comes with uncomfortableness. Jesus paid the price for your freedom, but that freedom must be walked out. That freedom must be walked out. Okay? Verse 14, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Do you see that? Moses has been saying all along, the Lord is going to fight for you. So you don't need to do anything. You just hold your peace. And then we see in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Something occurred between verses 14 and 15. Okay? Something occurred between verses 14 and 15. How do I know that? Because look what the Lord said. Why criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. You speak. Why are you crying out to me? You speak. Oh, Lord, please help me stop smoking. Please help me stop drinking, Lord. Please help me. Please help me be successful on my diet. I really need to lose some weight. Why are you crying to me? We are complete in him. Colossians chapter something, 2 verse 10. For ye are complete in him. Everything that we need to be more than conquerors in this life, we already have. So why do we cry to the Lord? Why? We shouldn't. We speak the word. And then we thank him that the word is going to be accomplished in our lives. Wherefore, criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Do you see this? What was God waiting on? Moses to speak. He was waiting on also for the children of Israel to move forward. Because verse 16 says, but lift thou up the rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now see, I have been, my mental image of all this was Moses standing on the rock, and the wind starts to blow, and then the sea starts to part, and he, you know, he's trying to keep the wind from blowing him away. Ten Commandments, great movie. But let me ask you something. The Lord says, you speak unto the children of Israel and tell them to go forward. Okay? And then you stretch out your hand. Now let me ask you something. Do you think the water started to part before the children of Israel started walking? Think about that. Think about that. They could have stood and looked at the Red Sea. Nothing would have happened if they had not started moving forward. Is God waiting on you? See, this is where I wanted to go. Because, see, you know, we have this picture in our mind of them just waiting for the wind to blow all night long and waiting for the Red Sea to part. And then once they see the Red Sea is parted, then they start walking. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you hear me? So when God tells Moses, why are you crying to me, Moses? You speak unto the children of Israel and you tell them to move forward. When they took that first step, the waters began to part. They walked out their freedom. You see that? Because every step they took, more water parted. Every single step. Now, how many of you are stuck and not walking out your freedom? How many? I just thought that was so neat when I saw that. I said, oh my gosh. You know, my mind has just been so focused on what I saw in the movies. You know, Moses standing on the rock and the waters parting, the people looking in awe. And God says, there's going to be no parting of the water until you start moving. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not going to see the Word of God manifest into your life until you start moving. When you take that step, then the waters will start to part. They're not going to part until you take that step. Now this is the first time this has happened. The second time that happens is in Joshua. Remember when the priests were taking the Ark of the Covenant and the Jordan was overflowed? And the word of the Lord was that as soon as the soles of your feet touch the water, it will stop. So they could have stood on the shore all day long. Water would just swept on by. You know, probably would have had, you know, some animals in it waving at them as the animal gets washed on by. But as soon as they put the soles of their feet in the water's at flood stage, they put their feet in the water stops. They had to move forward in order for the water to stop. Is God waiting on you? Is He waiting on you? And the only thing, ladies and gentlemen, that keeps us from moving forward is fear. That's the only thing. Fear. It's the only thing that keeps us from moving forward. Because we're so concerned about what people are going to think about us, whether people are going to like us, or things like that. When you get to the point that you're standing in front of that mirror, 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, and you're being changed from glory to glory, you're going to care a lot less about what people think. The only thing you're going to care about is looking more and more like Jesus. That's all you're going to care about. Because when you do that, then love is just going to ooze out of you. And that's all you care about. But it starts by moving forward, by walking out your freedom. Because, see, they were already free from Egypt, weren't they? They were already free from Egypt, but in their mind, they were still in bondage. They were still in bondage. And, see, we have already been freed from Egypt. We have already been freed from the sin nature. But our minds in places in our lives are still in bondage. So we have to get the word of the Lord on that area of our minds that are in bondage and walk it out. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand. The things God has for us and requires of us, they're only as difficult, they're only as hard as we make them. And we make them hard, we make them difficult, because it had been better for us if we didn't have to do that. It had been better for us. I'm not comfortable. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't make me happy. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo, cry me a river, get over it, and start walking out your freedom. Because, see, there are many of us in this room and in the sound of my voice, when we start walking out our freedom, we're going to have family members walking out theirs. We're going to have co-workers walking out theirs. We're going to have friends walking out theirs because we're walking out ours. We're going to have children walking out theirs because mom and dad is walking out their freedom. They're showing them how it's done. Amen? So let this be the last day, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not already walking, and notice the Lord had me title it, Is God Waiting on You? There may be some of you in the sound of my voice, He's not waiting because you are walking it out. Praise God. Show up at church on Sunday. Show us how to do it. I want to know. Show us how to. Show me how it's done. Because that's what it's all about. Being shown how it's done. We serve a God who loves us a whole bunch of people. And He has made living in the kingdom simple. It's only hearing the word, obeying the word. How hard is that?